In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. During these last days of Advent, the theme of our chapel services has centered on a series of antiphons which draw attention to and add special urgency to that sense of expectation which closes in on us all as Christmas Day draws near. Those antiphons address our Lord under various titles given by the Jewish prophet. Now he is the branch that grows suddenly and belatedly from the trunk of Jesse. Now he is the tree of David, the providentially designed instrument which fits into the lot of our sad human situation. Now he is the king of nations, of whose kingdom there shall be no end. But the name under which we think of him this morning is perhaps the most encouraging of all, because in a sense it is the culmination of them all, and maybe for the same reason, the most troublesome for many. We hear again the words of Matthew as he quotes from Isaiah. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. That is the text. O come, Emmanuel, God with us. That is not what men always believe, is it? Not what men always want. There is in the incarnation of Jesus Christ an ascent, just as there is in his cross. On one level, on the widest possible scale, it is the ascent of history. That chaos and confusion in which, so we are told by many sophisticated people today, no loving God can possibly be. You old-fashioned Christians talk at Christmas about the birth of a Savior, they say. You sing about a Son of God who will ransom the captive and comfort the mourn. What about the millions of starving children in the world? What about earthquakes and famine and disease? What about the shadow of nuclear war? What about the ovens of Auschwitz and Dachau, or the cries of mothers for their little children in a steamy commune in Guyana? Where is the God you Christians claim is with us? History is darkness. Where is your light of the world? And at the root of that ascent is, if you will, a bit of theological dyslexia. You know what dyslexia is? That is the malady that afflicts the eyes to protect a transposition of letters or words as one reads the printed line. There's a lot of spiritual dyslexia going on around Christmas time. Thus, there are many, and we are not always immune to it either, who want to read God with us as us with God. So we desire in the coming of Emmanuel a reversal of history, a reversal of nature, so that we might be taught people and the threat of history with all of its anguish and pain and suffering might be removed. But of course, that is not the message conveyed in the meaning of Emmanuel. That is not the comfort of the Advent season. He is God with us, rather than us with God. The Advent message, you see, affirms that we are often in darkness. That evil men and evil deeds abound. But it also reminds us that the world has been in darkness before. Think, for example, about the nation of Israel. There was day when that of God's presence flows in. In all the glory of the Exodus from Egypt, all of the majesty of David, all the dreams of the prophet seemed utterly eclipsed. That day of exile in the nation of Israel disintegrated. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered God. And when the talk of the Babylonian tormentors rang out, where is your God now, Israel? The real sin of it to the Israelite heart is a horrible suspicion in the heart is true. So they sat, longing for a voice, even a whisper, that God was still alive, that he still cared, that he is faithful to the covenant that he had made with their ancient forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Or had it all been delusion, superstition, like God with us here in exile, impossible. If we were with God, things wouldn't be like this. We would still be in our splendor and suffering, and bondage would be eradicated. But remember what happened. It is in this darkness of a history now seemingly barren of God's presence that a prophet heard a voice, soft and clear. Comfort ye, comfort ye, my people. Speak ye tenderly. Tell them that their exile is ended, their iniquity pardoned. It is the thick darkness of Babylon still, but it is different now because God was there. And that brings us to another hour in history some centuries later. By this time, Caesar in Rome destroyed the world like a tiny colossus. And there was Israel now. He's a vassal father, less than the dust beneath Caesar's chariot wheels. And Israel's politicians were appeased, and Israel's priests were frauds, and Israel's leaders were men who had forgotten God. And then there came a child, Emmanuel, God with us. But another episode of dyslexia. And everyone knows that us with God does not mean a carpenter's son who needs to lead a political revolution so we can be at the top where God is. And so they saw the words of Scripture, he came into his own, and his own received him not. Only the cry, we have no king but Caesar, only the unanimous vote for Barabbas against Jesus, only the sword of execution on the hill of Golgotha. See, once again, it is not us with God, but God with us. God present, even though it seems a man no God could possibly be. And thus it is by the majesty and grace of God that an instrument of death becomes the altar of our salvation. The act of man's consummate sinfulness and hatred, the vehicle of omnipotent love, a man put out the city gates to die, our Lord raised for our justification. And so we turn back to our own contemporary scene, this Advent 1978. The darkness of our history, the predicament of sinful man. You ought to know better, your neighbor says, and talk about God in a world like this. Where is your Emmanuel now, sitting up there in heaven while the world gets into an even bigger mess? And our only response can be what we know. And the only thing we know is what we know from God's inerrant word. That although the world is dark, God has not left us. The God who came to Israel through the darkness of the exile The God who is reconciling the world to himself in the darkness of Calvary is not deserting us. The basic fact of history, dear Christian friends, is not the Iron Curtain, but the Red Veil. Not Satan's strategy, but God's promise to his people. And how do we know that? Because it is all there at Bethlehem. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Despite that spiritual dyslexia, which is a result of our sinful pridefulness, yet clothes us, the fact shines through. This is God with us, and not us with God. Birth, poverty, political uncertainty, temptation, understanding, betrayal, death. They are all there. This is the life of man. But he took it on and lived it that we might be redeemed, and that the cry of anticipation, O come, Emmanuel, might be fulfilled with the fact, rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to be your Israel. Verses 2 before our text, Matthew tells of the angel's announcement of Christ's forthcoming birth. He told Joseph what the child's name was to be. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for it is he that shall save his people from their sins. That is to say, God, in order to become a saving God, had to become God with us. He had to share our lot, and that is why God in Christ took flesh. That is why he lived our life, and faced our temptations, and bore our sin, and carried our sorrows, and died our death, that he might rescue us, and liberate us, and bring the good news of God's unmerited grace into the very center of our existence. That is incarnational theology. Not that we are worthy to be with God and return to an Eden where there is no tragedy and pain and anxiety and suffering, but that God in his mercy came to be with us, that we might live. Emmanuel, God with us. This is the Advent hope. Now, the Christmas affirmation. The seminarian, as it was to shepherds, the scholar, as it was to innkeepers, for the young, as it was for the old. God lives my life. The dream for my iniquity. And poverty and obscurity and disappointment and suffering and death still mark our lives and still mark our history, but above them all, God in Jesus Christ. And in all those other things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So it is from O come Emmanuel to Gloria in excelsis Deo.